from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
If you haven't heard,
yeah,
Joe Burrow is having a mid-career crisis.
You think that's it?
So he shows up, he goes to Paris Fashion Week, and he was at Vogue World 2024.
A nice backless number.
He had a backless cutout.
Very
and
stylish.
And the shirt cutout, so
guess.
He has his bare back.
Look at that suit. Have you seen the suit?
Apparently caught tons of grief.
Oh, yeah.
But there were models there that had the Slim Shady look. So he comes back, shaves his head.
All that hair.
Bleaches his
what
hair.
A waste. And he dyed it yellow.
Well, he bleached it.
Is that Joe Burrow or is that Eminem?
Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Then in my ear, the IFB says, okay, look at the big screen. So I look at the big screen and there's a picture that they have doctored of me with blonde hair. And I just said,
Eminem look.
It's very embarrassing.
As
a, now that's a crisis.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Cool Joe. Joe Cool. Whatever you want to call him. Joe Burrow.
Stand up.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, Joe Burrow reported to camp and he's got the hair. He looked fine.
He looked fine. His right arm is intact, so that's all that
that's
matters.
All that really matters.
He can do whatever he wants with his hair. He's wearing a helmet. Nobody can see him anyway. It's not like he's having a crisis on the field, just off it.
I watched some of the Olympics yesterday. There are already preliminary games going on because there's so many games you got to get to.
Mm-hmm.
The opening ceremony is tomorrow night. So I saw France like stuff the U.S. in soccer 3-0. It was just, wasn't a great start to the tournament.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't stay with it after the third goal.
No.
I bailed.
A little rough?
It was a bit much.
Yeah.
But we're going to get all that stuff coming up. I'm looking forward to the Olympics. I think it's going to be fun. Do you like the opening ceremonies? I'm curious to see how Paris is presented.
I think I'm always a little curious. I don't know that it's something that I count down to. I haven't breathlessly waited for. I can't wait till Friday night. Lady Gaga performing, that got my attention a little bit.
I thought Celine Dion, right? The two of them are doing
she
it.
Doing yeah. it as well? See, it's a passing interest. It's not like a focal point necessarily. You know, we have the news of Coco Gauff and LeBron James,
yes.
and they're going to be the flag bearers, and that's
right.
really special for their careers and their legacies. But I will watch. I don't know that I will be riveted.
I was informed that we are going steak frites. We like to have a meal in honor of the country that is hosting as we watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics.
Your family?
Yeah.
Really? That's,
we've always
boy,
done
you guys,
that.
That's really going all out.
I don't think it's going that's all good. Out. But
yeah, it's going all out.
I kind of like steak frites.
I can't tell you what I'm having for dinner tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
It's going all out.
I was worried we might have some other kind of Frenchy meal, but this is a good one.
I know that this is a dumb question, but you're aware that it's tape delayed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're having the meal when you're watching it. You're not necessarily watching it like somehow closed circuit or whatever it's going to be streaming on during the day.
You can watch it whenever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on all the time. And as a proud holder of the Peacock app, that's how I started watching the Olympics.
Did you get
yesterday.
The Peacock app because of the Olympics?
No, I've had the Peacock app. Because of the Premier League. Actually, I may have gotten it. Do they have, which one of the apps, one of them has like the Star Trek show?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's that one or the Paramount app, whatever the app.
Now you bring up something else I have no interest in.
Yeah.
I don't, Star Trek, I'm not quite sure. Which one is that? Does anybody,
what is
does
Star
Dustin
Trek?
Have? No, I know Star Trek. I just not really.
Yeah. No, I like all
fan.
Those shows.
Yeah. Star Trek?
Oh, yeah. I like all those.
Yeah, Mully's a Trekkie.
Okay.
Trekker is the preferred term, I've been told. I'm not.
A Trekker rather than Trekkie?
Apparently. I'm not making that up, but that's what I've been told.
I'm more of a Star Wars than Star Trek.
Yeah, I wouldn't
want I'm C.
Star Wars if you paid me.
None of the above.
Yeah.
Isn't I'm that, with you, David.
Isn't that D?
Be like a Battlestar Galactica
Shouldn't
guy?
Shouldn't there be another one?
I don't know. No.
Tron?
Not that one either.
But anyway, I do watch those series, and I am a fan of the Premier League.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be fun. Yeah, the Olympics, the gymnastics is interesting. Somebody will emerge as a good story. Here's the thing with me. I would rather cover the Olympics than watch them. And I reflect back. I was only lucky enough to do that once in my career in London. It was the greatest 3 weeks. And because there were endless stories, but I would rather work the Olympics than be a casual fan of watching the Olympics.
Was J.K. Rowling in the opening games or in the closing games? She was featured in the London
She game. Was. I don't recall.
Okay.
I don't recall. Actually, the ceremonies were almost like the opening and closing were the least memorable part of that experience.
Did you go to the opening ceremony?
Yes. I went to the opening ceremonies in London. Yes, I did.
I think that's kind of cool. I like the Parade of Nations.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Very cool. On display.
And I had read that they were going to do it on the Seine, right? Weren't they planning on kind of floating down, having a each country represented in a boat kind of deal? I have no idea what they're doing. But it'll be fun. France, cool. Paris, just an amazing place.
Amazing place. Going to be a great 3 weeks or so. And I think NBC is going to benefit. We're looking forward to talking to Alex Maragos at 9 o'clock. He's calling in from France. He's the only local television reporter, the way I understand it, in France. Times have changed.
Mm.
Used to be a big event.
Yeah, it used to be.
Used to be a big event that people could send, and you know, a lot of people there. But
there's a lot of like Chicago athletes there. There's quite, a lot of people that will kind of get to know better as we get into their sports and they have their moment. Let's hope the U.S. does well in the medal hall. I always enjoy that. It's good. I like the Olympics. I like. There's certain sports I like, and then there's certain sports that you don't really watch, and they pop up in the Olympics. You're kind of like, wow, that's wild.
Give me one.
Like, I mean, I'm thinking more of the winter sports, but like, you know, the one thing where you do cross-country skiing and then you shoot a rifle. I think that's awesomely cool. I just don't know
whatever
how
that's
you
called.
Would, how, like, whatever that, the name of that thing is, how do you adapt
I will
that
say
into
this,
your life?
The Olympics in 2012 in London, it was the only time I can ever remember watching or caring about the outcome of a beach volleyball.
Oh, yeah.
Game.
Yeah.
That's a biathlon, by the way.
That's called a biathlon?
Biathlon.
Okay.
Hmm. In the cross-country skiing and rifle shooting.
Yes. That's what I'm
just
saying.
To confirm that that's
Why
the
would
one
you do were... that?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's like
well, it's what they must have been. It must have been in World War II or World War I that they were doing that thing.
Maybe they're going out looking for an elk or something, and you got to ski for a while. And then
chances are, if you're out in those conditions, you're in your skiing and you're cold, you probably have a little bit of a, you have a flask with you as well.
So you're half.
I don't think it's probably an accurate portrayal of actually what happened.
I think that if I'm not mistaken, like cross country skiing, I have cross country skied. That's an endurance sport. That is like a very hard. It's like
oh, if you've never done it before, and then you do it, and you're going to be sore the next day.
Your whole body is.
You're going to be very sore. It's a really good exercise, though.
And then shooting a gun. I've never done that either. I don't know how.
Never shot a gun?
No, I haven't.
Really?
Have you?
Yes.
You've gone to the range quite a bit?
Yes, I've shot a gun.
Okay.
Trigger finger. Not quite a bit. I don't have a car or anything like that.
I had some friends
I'm sure you
who were
figured
going
I did.
Out. They were doing one of these, like, go eat a steak, shoot a gun, go to the club. You know, one of those. Like, no interest.
Yeah, I'm not a gun guy.
Yeah, I just
have you shot a gun, David?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I have.
I've never had the opportunity.
Rural Indiana. I think that sometimes that's like part of the graduation.
You know, I think I'm more likely to have been firing a gun on the south side than you in rural Indiana.
Well, it depends on the purpose.
That was a joke.
You might need protection. I think that I am not a hunter, never have been one, but there have been people that I grew up around that were big hunters. So,
are you a collector?
I am a collector. I'm a collector of memorabilia and press credentials.
Yeah.
I don't really think of anything I actually collect.
Yeah.
I do keep my credentials from places I've been.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Do you have a box?
I have them in they're hanging on actually what would be the equivalent of a coat rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a bunch of them from a lot of different places.
Yeah, so, I have credentials from everything. You know, it's really stinks, though, is like frequently now you don't longer get a ticket. You have like a ticket that you get online.
I hate that. I totally agree. I have a lot of tickets and sports tickets that I've saved. They're not in any kind of mint condition or anything like that, but I hate the fact
I prefer
that,
it.
Yeah. I mean, you prefer the digital.
Yes. No. I prefer the digital.
Okay.
You're not going to lose that. You're not losing that.
Well, if you have a credential wrapped around your neck, you shouldn't be.
I don't want it wrapped around my neck all the time. Oh. I just.
Oh, you don't feel like you have to show your credential? Don't you know who I am?
I didn't say that. that devolved quickly.
Did you pull a Nick Saban?
No,
or
Billy Packer. I've never done that.
Billy Packer.
I've never done that. I just don't necessarily. I think if you have a credential, you also have one more thing you could lose.
Do they do virtual credentials nowadays?
Yeah, no, you can get in some places. Yeah,
I believe. I'm saying like if you have like a season credential where like you're going to Wrigley like all the time.
No, no, no,
you
no.
have to wear.
You still have to have like a hard credential.
Yeah.
Sometimes now it's like almost like a driver's license, right? Like it's like a card.
It's pretty elaborate process. I can just say after just applying for the Bears season credential, like the photo that you have to submit is like it's like getting a passport. You can't submit a photo if you are off center, if you're not have a background that is clear. All the things that are very complicated, but necessary in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but the credential collection is a fun one because then you could go back and think, well, I remember that. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I have a buddy who collects tickets. Like, he collects tickets from all sorts. Like, he's got tickets from the, you know, whatever year it was where the World's Fair was here. You know? Mm-hmm. Like,
really?
Oh, no. Wow. He's like a very serious
Darren
collector.
Revelle?
You know what?
Darren Revelle?
Like, that he follows Darren Revelle for that reason.
For that purpose. Yes. Darren Revelle the other day, he had something, and it must have been this date. X number of years ago, but it was an actual paper ticket into Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
Like he had the opening day of Disneyland under some type of plexiglass or plastic or something. And I thought that's really cool. Like to see
the first ever
Disneyland. Was like 65 cents or something to walk into Disneyland.
Well, that's when having airplane tickets were all paper all the time.
Well, that was the big Les joke, right? That he walked around with like a shirt full of some airline that's never doesn't exist anymore. Tickets.
I remember traveling with Les one time. I think I was in, I want to say I was in Dayton or Louisville. I was in one place and there were NCAA games at the other. And I went with Les to just drive between sites. And he stopped at the airport because he had like 50 different tickets in his pocket from all these different airlines. And he was going to, you know, cash them in and combine them into a different ticket to go wherever he was going because he covered so many things. Different franchises.
He was always ready. Oh, yeah. He was incredible. And then he kept everything.
I wonder if he's got a credential collection. That would be pretty spectacular. a ticket selection.
Right. I was there.
I was there.
Yeah.
Well, a week from tonight, we'll have credentials for the Bears and the Texans in Canton. We'll need those credentials, right?
Right. Be a week from tonight.
Got those already? Did you get them? You got yours, right?
I did not.
You didn't get yours?
No, I'm sure it's going to be given to me.
Have you lost it already?
Has yours been sent to you?
I got it in my phone.
It's been sent to
right here. Don't you have yours, Brandon?
No.
I don't have mine.
Oh. Maybe I don't either.
Only two credentials.
Yeah. When was it sent to you?
It wasn't. I'm just kidding.
Oh. Wow. Well, don't do that show is about to go. I'm already about to send some text messages and thinking the show is going to go off the rails.
Oh, come on.
That wasn't funny.
That was too funny.
You've worked here for more than a day and a half.
Yeah. Listen.
No. I just don't need
We've got credential stories. Okay.
Okay. No. I'm just saying. I don't have it. We're fine. We're going to be fine. Is a segue into next Thursday night.
It wasn't funny. It's not clever. It's nothing. Okay.
Do you think that guy ever wore a credential?
I don't know.
Who was that? That was the guy from...
That's the Pope, Mike Francesa.
Mike Francesa.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wore a credential.
Yeah. You can't get in a press box without one.
Well, I'm aware of that.
He's a big don't you know who I am guy.
Oh, is he really?
I believe so.
I tell you what, I think he did a hell of a job, right? Didn't he start this industry, he and Mad Dog? Didn't they?
No, they didn't start
it. Well, they were the first big show?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not giving him a hard time. Just saying.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
I'm not an anti-Mike Francesa guy.
I just remember when covering the NBA, like a lot of those types of guys would be out at the finals, and that you had to have a credential to go to the NBA finals. You couldn't go in without one. In those days, there wasn't a lot of stuff on your phone. You know, you kind of had to have the paper ticket, the paper credential.
In the days of paper tickets, there were no phones.
There were no phones.
So you couldn't really do that.
Yeah. There's nothing you could do about it. Different world.
Different world.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to get to today. Bears, Cubs, Sox. Boy, the Cubs are disappointing.
Bears were off. Weren't the Bears off?
Bears were off, but they're back today.
Isn't that weird that that's the new reality of the NFL? I'm just saying, you can't go more than 4 days.
That's the reality. Wow. It's just as much, it's just as difficult or weird as them not hitting during training camp.
Right.
You know, they've been in camp for this long and they haven't put on shoulder pads yet.
Oh, so they're like the Cubs.
They can't hit.
Oh, boy.
Bears don't hit and the Cubs can't hit.
Yeah, the Cubs are a very frustrating team. And it was really frustrating to watch this series where they win the first game. And then, did you happen to see the Milwaukee Brewers social media? You should go take a look at that, man. They were taunting the Cubs like crazy.
Well, that seems to be the thing with social media and these accounts for these teams these days, is that they seem to take advantage of every opportunity to kind of cast aspersions and be insulting. They walk a very fine line. I did not see that last night, though.
Well,
I was busy watching the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, once that game got to like 4-2, you knew they weren't coming back. So what was the point?
There's very little point in watching the White Sox. So the Brewers Twitter feed, @Brewers, thanks for the hospitality, Chicago. And they have series winning. Wow.
They just have one after the other. I mean, yeah. It's pretty wild.
Well, the Brewers dominated the Cubs this year. The Cubs won't see the Brewers again the rest of the season, which is weird. But right now, nice, because you don't have to see the Brewers again. Craig Counsell leaving Milwaukee. Man, you didn't think that this was going to be the case on July 25th, where he lost, what were they, 11-5 against the Cubs this year? That's bad, but it makes it worse that the Cubs got the Brewers manager and they still were dominated in the season series.
The Cubs got the Brewers manager. The Brewers traded a couple pitchers. Like, there's so many things that happened that didn't matter in that series. It's almost beyond comprehension.
Yeah. It's bad. Yeah, it's really bad the rest of the way. You know, the trade deadline 5 days away. I only hope, we'll talk to Carter Hawkins at 8:25. I'm not quite sure how much he can reveal in terms of their change or different intentions of what Jed Hoyer said the other day, but I hope they don't unload so many people or even several people that will make it harder for them to win in 2025 or make their offseason more challenging. Their offseason basically starts today.
I thought it was real awkward and strange to hear Justin Steele asked if that's his last start with the Cubs. Because that's not appropriate to what the Cubs need to get done.
I don't understand that.
That doesn't
rumor.
Make an ounce of sense to me.
It makes no sense.
Because he is a guy that will be in their win window, right? Let's listen to this.
Are you surprised at all to see your own name mentioned in speculation?
I really don't pay too much attention to that. I had a good line the other day. I was like, the only GMing I do is over a few fantasy football teams, and that's all I really do.
Yeah.
Well, I think that question from Sully would be appropriate, because if you are surprised or not to see your name speculated as being somebody that's going to get traded, because it implies that he should be surprised, and I would be surprised.
Yes, he should be surprised.
But I don't think that, to take that a step further, I'm not sure if anybody did, but his last start at Wrigley Field, that's ridiculous to consider.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so I think Sully asked the right question. and Justin Steele gave us a good answer.
Is that on the table? I mean, is that honestly, David? Is that on the table?
No.
Because you're being asked about it. It's just
I don't think it's on the table because he's being asked about it.
But Tyon is on the table because it's a money dump.
Well, Tyon is on the table because
different circumstances.
He's not the ace. He's got two more years, and he's a guy that is at a different stage of his career. The Yankees, they're a team that he used to play for, and the Red Sox with Craig Breslow. And Craig Breslow was one of the guys instrumental in bringing Jameson Taillon to Chicago. Sure. He's the general manager of the Red Sox. I understand that speculation, but I don't understand any Justin Steele speculation. He's your ace. He's affordable, and he's not going anywhere.
Mm.
He's not going to go anywhere. That would be reason for just – we talked yesterday about Taillon creating a response. If you get rid of Justin Steele, what are you doing?
Well, that's a different level of that doesn't make sense to me, to be honest with you.
It's a different level of foolishness.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And there are categories for foolishness. That would be the worst type. Yeah, you're not trading Justin Steele. Now, Hector Neris, anybody want him, please?
Boy, I got to tell you, that became a topic of discussion on the Fly the W670 podcast. I spun the question that we asked yesterday about the relievers, mm-hmm. right? Which reliever would you be most likely to want, and which one would you not want at all? We all had a different answer to that question, and I don't know how you could want Hector Neris after yesterday. Now, I don't know why in the world you would pitch to Willie Contreras in that moment. I would have walked him at that point, because if he puts the ball in play, they're going to score a run. They've got their speedster on base. Just walk the guy.
I thought about that
too. Just walk the guy. And I just don't. There's so much I don't understand about Craig Counsell's use of that bullpen. I mean, when did Miller become like the go-to guy? He has pitched in 23 of 25 games. He's 23 of the last 25 he's made an appearance for the Cubs.
If Hector Neris gets to 60 appearances, his contract, his player option for next year kicks in automatically, which means you would owe him another $9 million.
He's got 21.
Heart attack, Hector!
21 more.
He's got 21 open to him.
Yeah, 21 more.
How many games are left? I'm just saying.
There's no way if you're the Cubs.
If he stays, he's not going to 21.
My point is, if you're trading for him, you know you only get 21 more bites. You get him for 21 games, mm-hmm. is my point. Like, not only do you have to pay the guy, and not only are you looking at how to use him in terms of what you can do and winning in the right now, but you're limited in how much you can use.
Well, that could limit team's interest. So could his ineffectiveness.
Well, I understand. But my point is simply, you would only, not only are you limited in whether or not, you know, he's effective, but the fact that you could only use a reliever 21 times before the end of the year is kind of debilitating.
Teams that talk to the Cubs about relief pitching likely will start with Mark Leiter Jr.
Sure.
Over Neris. Even though Neris has some
he's been around.
You know, experience, and some people may want to look at that, but I think the contractual realities and his ineffectiveness, you just don't know what you're getting.
He's just been so ineffective this year. I mean, just...
You can't count on him.
David, you basically 3 minutes ago said the Cubs season is over, and Neris had the ball in his hand to try to hold the game and hold the season intact and couldn't deliver.
I'm not exaggerating, though.
I'm not saying you are, but I'm just saying, I mean, my point is that Neris had the ball in his hand with the season on the line, and I don't think Craig Counsell helped him very much. I would have walked Contreras there, but he couldn't get the job done. So I don't know why you would run to the Cubs. I mean, the only reason the Cubs are going to dump these guys or be able to dump these guys is because they're not going to demand what other teams are going to demand.
All right, we got the pick six.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Next, we're going to get into that story among many others. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. Again, visit FeelGreatIllinois.com. Did you expect the Brewers to go 8-5 against the Cubs and hold a 11-game lead over them on the 25th day of July after Craig Counsell was signed by the Brewers, away from the Brewers? Could he still be with the Brewers? Wouldn't that be more fun? How do you explain what has happened here? And what is your biggest takeaway from yesterday's 3-2 loss? By the way, did you notice how the Brewers social media team celebrated on Twitter or X, whatever you prefer?
Yes, notice the celebration. That's just a couple of young dudes that are hired to, you know, that I wouldn't think that that's Murph getting on there and throwing a thumb at, you know,
from the dugout.
His nose. Yeah. Rolling his fingers
tweeting from
at
the
you.
Dugout.
No,
yeah.
No, that is the social media team. That doesn't bother me at all. Just young lads going on social media. That's all fine. But I do think that when you hired Craig Counsell, that was one of the things that was going to happen. You were bringing Craig Counsell here, and you were going to steal whatever magic there was in Milwaukee. And there was no way that they were going to be able to compete, and you were taking not just him, but you're taking him from your biggest opponent. And I want to be careful about this because I don't think this is Craig Counsell's fault. I don't think, you know, as much as you may be upset about the Cubs not hitting, I don't think the manager can control whether or not players hit. I think that the players control whether the players hit. You know, Joe Maddon did an awful good job with the Cubs and won a World Series, and then their offense broke. Was that because of him? Was he managing poorly? I think players go a long way toward determining what goes on in baseball, and I think that the offense is not good because it hasn't been good, because there are guys that have been in year-long slumps, and I don't think that has anything to do with the manager. I think you got to sort through players, and you got to figure out what you have, and I think what we've learned is that the Cubs aren't as good as we thought they were. And they're kind of collectively having a bad year, and they've told us who they are, and they're not the team.
They're not the team. And I think I'd actually have to blame Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer a little bit more, and probably Jed more than Carter. Carter Hawkins will be here with you guys at 8:25. I might say, though, based on the fact that the Brewers look like they were kind of retooling when this year started, with Craig Counsell leaving, they traded some big time pitchers. So they've dealt with injuries as well. Like, Pat Murphy might be the secret sauce up in Milwaukee all this time. He might have been the guy that really was the guy pushing all the right buttons at the right time and helping Craig Counsell steer the ship. And you can scoff at that all you want, David. You know, the other thing was
he tried to do,
if you're watching on Twitch, we could rewatch the tape. You wanted to scoff. You know, PCA, he's been disappointing. So they take PC out yesterday and they put Mike Talkman in to replace him in center field. And in the first inning, he doesn't come up with a ball that I think PCA comes up with. And the Brewers end up scoring one run. They probably should have scored more runs in the first inning, but the Cubs mercifully got away with just one. And then Talkman has one meaningless hit the rest of the game. So you subbed out offense for defense, and it didn't work out. So there was an opportunity to make Counsell look brilliant, and it just didn't work out. And I just can't believe the Cubs and Brewers are done on the 25th of July, and they're 11 behind the Brewers.
There's not a bigger Pat Murphy fan in Chicago than me. I've known him for 30 years. I consider him a great baseball mind. And he's doing exactly what people expected him to do with the Brewers once he got the chance to manage this team. He will be likely, right now, the odds on favorite to be the manager of the year. Congratulations. Pat Murphy, as much respect as I have for him and his acumen and everything and his edge, he wouldn't have made much difference here with the Cubs. Craig Counsell is an excellent manager, good enough to be the highest paid in baseball. This is not his fault. This is not his fault. The Cubs cannot hit. I would call the offense broken, but that would imply that it ever worked. It hasn't. It's a bad offense. It's a bad lineup. It's a bad roster construction when you look at the way things were put together. That's not on the manager. The Cubs only gave up 14 runs on the homestand in six games. Think about that. Since the last 17 games, they have the lowest ERA in baseball. This is not a bad group of pitchers. This is a terrible group of hitters. They have scored the fewest amount of runs in the majors since the All-Star break. Even fewer than the White Sox, I think. Come on. This is on the manager? Please. This is on the front office. This is on the roster construction. This is a failed roster with a lot of guys having bad seasons at the same time. But it's hard for me to put that on Craig Counsell. And, yeah, the social media team, enjoy it. You beat the Cubs. Celebrate.
And I ask a lot of questions, and I try to ask questions without questioning.
That is the voice of Carter Hawkins, I believe, and he will be with you guys at 8:25 to answer some questions. Now that the Cubs have come off the All-Star break with a 2-4 homestand and lost another series to the Brewers, will you argue if management wants to make a trade or two before the deadline? Has this team declared itself unworthy of trade deadline improvement? How else do you interpret leaving 50-0 runners on base and batting 179, 7 of 39, with runners in scoring position over those six contests?
It's a bad number. That's a bad trend. The bad team. It's a bad offensive team. I still don't think that you need to unload guys that will help you win in 2025. If today is the beginning of the planning process, today is de facto first day of the offseason for 2025, you don't start that process of getting better for next year by trading Jameson Taillon for prospects? Okay, but prospects. That's going to help you in 2026 or 2027. You worry about next year now. If you want to get rid of Hector Neris, if anybody would take him off your hands, maybe they can focus on the 8 scoreless innings that he had thrown up until yesterday's disaster. Another one. Okay, fine. Trade him. Trade some guys who might be expendable. Don't trade guys who might factor into the equation in 2025. If Kyle Hendricks has a taker, somebody wants to take a flyer on the professor, all right, fine. Make that your salary dump. Don't dump salary for the sake of dumping salary. You're the Cubs, not the Rays, not the Royals. So I don't want to look at this bad season that is lost and say, all right, now you can start unloading pieces that make sense. If you want to talk either Seiya Suzuki or Ian Happ into waiving their no-trade clause, that might be something you would do in the offseason. If you can accelerate that process now, do it now. Getting rid of one of those guys might clear a spot for one of the prospects that you're going to have to take a look at in the remaining 55 games after the trade deadline. You got to get a look at those guys. You got to know what this looks like moving forward. How are you going to win in 2025? Start asking the hard questions now, but you have not announced the beginning of a fire sale.
It was just a light offensive day.
Light offensive day, light offensive series, light offensive week, and maybe just a light offensive year. And again, David, I also said before I answered the last question that I'm putting this more at the feet of Jed and Carter than I am of the manager. But they brought the manager in because he supposedly is the guy that can make lemonade out of lemons or whatever. He's the guy that can do, magic touch, when I think actually Pat Murphy's the guy with the green thumb, if you will, when it comes to baseball. So maybe you trade some halfway decent pitchers to try to find somebody who can put a bat on a ball in a pressure situation. Okay. But yeah, something they've got it. The roster, this roster can't come back in 25.
Yeah. Hey, if the Cubs want to make a trade or two, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. The problem is always who you have to trade. The problem isn't that you make trades. The problem is that your best players aren't the ones you want to see going off. You don't want to see them losing their strength because they've created a terrible weakness somewhere else. That is the problem with being a fan, is that there are guys that you like and you respect, and they look like they fit your timeline, and then you're going to have to lose that guy because the guy you don't want anymore, no one wants him either. So it just, I mean, if you are going along with this has to change, something has to happen, then you got to let them do what they do. And I don't think anyone wants to see it happen. So, I am utterly befuddled by how they've gotten to this point and what the way out of it is. But they apparently have overpaid some people because they apparently have guys that you can't move that you would prefer if they moved.
I mean, it's a great question.
If you were to identify one position group that still concerns you after 1 week of Bears practice, what would it be? Is it something that can be fixed at training camp?
I would say that you have to be concerned about the offensive line. And no, it can't be fixed at training camp. I just feel like, you know, they're having an open competition now at the center position, which I'm not arguing about. You want to make sure you don't repeat the mistakes of the past. I just didn't know that was going to happen. The left tackle isn't able to play yet, and I didn't think that was going to happen. And, you know, you worried that was going to happen when you started hearing rumors about who they'd be going after. Those are like emergency-type moves, by the way. So if you're bringing in an injured left tackle and hoping that he's okay, that means your left tackle is a lot worse than you've let on.
The broken down guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a problem. And of course, you're always worried about the interior of your offensive line because of the track record of the players there. I don't think there's any real kind of panic button position going on, but I do think that of all the things that have happened that have surprised me, and I know you've downplayed this, but the idea that you're having an open competition at center surprised me. I just didn't think that was happening. I thought they had addressed that position, and they had a starter and a guy that they wanted to be the starter, and that was just going to be more of him declared that. And it turns out, probably correctly, that they don't want to make the same mistake they made with Cody Whitehair. So, okay, let's see how that works out. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at this game on Thursday and I'm projecting who's playing, I got to know who's on the offensive line, who's available, in order to know whether the quarterback should play.
Great point about whether or not the quarterback should play or not, depending on who's available and who's blocking for him. I guess you'd also want to know who's coming at the quarterback. From the other side of the ball, that would play a factor. The offensive line is a question. We've heard so much about no number one pick has ever come to an offense so stacked with talent. Okay, but you know what? You got to be able to hold up for 4 seconds. You got to be able to put your hand in the dirt and push some people around so you can move the ball when it's 2 yards or less. You got a pair of guards, one guy who doesn't seem invested in playing anymore, another guy who likes to play but is injury prone. You got a rookie, you got a sophomore right tackle that might end up being a really good guard, better than a tackle in the long run. You've got a left tackle who's got a neck, and then you've got two centers, which means you don't have one center. They need to settle on this center position, I think, fairly quickly. Just pick one. He needs to get 80% of the reps, and then if he goes down, I hope that doesn't happen, then you've got a guy behind him. But it can't be 50-50. I think that's a mistake. I think by the time you get past this Hall of Fame game, they've got to pick a center and move forward and only change if there's an injury.
Yeah, I think the further you get into preseason, obviously you want to make a determination at that position. I am a little surprised that we're a week in and the focus, understandably, is more on the offensive line than it is the edge rusher they don't have. Opposite Montez Sweat. They have some internal options Brad Biggs wrote about. We've talked about, I think Eric Washington talked about yesterday. They like their roster depth at that position. So that's less of a concern than the offensive line. And on the offensive line, I know the center has gotten a lot of attention, and it should continue to, because it's unorthodox to have a competition at that spot, competition versus continuity, something we're going to weigh. But I have to tell you, I would be more concerned and am if I'm an objective observer of the offensive line, I'm more concerned about their left tackle spot than I am their center. I think they have capable options at center either way they go, either hand they choose to snap the ball left or right of Coleman Shelton or Ryan Bates, whereas the injury status of Braxton Jones is a regular concern that could be keeping somebody up at night at Hallis Hall, and the options behind him are not good right now. That should be the biggest concern. Yeah. You have a quarterback that is walking into a situation that's conducive for success, but you need to keep it that way. And if they don't get Braxton Jones healthy, it's not being kept that way. So that, after 1 week, is the biggest problem for the Bears.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
That is the UCLA head coach. We're going to hear more from him a little bit later on. Woo, there's got to be something behind that. The Big Ten now has 18 teams with UCLA, USC, Washington, Oregon coming aboard. With the Big Ten Media Days going on right now down in Indy, which of the four new programs do you think will have the most appeal? Does that make you more or less interested in Big Ten football?
I'd say more. I'm curious to see how everything shakes out and how the styles of play contrast. I think it's fascinating to see Oregon and USC coming in. USC because of Lincoln Riley. Miller Moss, the quarterback, he's going to be one of the better ones in the conference. So I wonder how they're going to change the way teams play them, change the way they play team. The idea of all these teams kind of clashing when it used to be just intersectional rivalries or the Rose Bowl, whatever, it's very intriguing from a college football fan perspective. Oregon will be the best team, I think, preseason. It looks like they're the best addition of the four new ones. How will they stack up against Ohio State? The preseason Big Ten poll was fascinating to see how deep and talented this 18-group conference is. Deshaun Foster, that was an unfortunate debut at Indianapolis Media Day. When we heard him, he just froze. I don't know if it was anxiety, might have been nerves. Whatever it was not a good look for a head coach who should be in command of everything. And you wonder about some of these things getting in the way of him at being able to, how's he going to handle the first time he talks to his team before a big game? So
go to questions.
Go to questions. Coach, what are we? Who's calling the plays today? If you're going to be mum, who's calling the plays? So it was unfortunate, but it went viral. But yeah, I'm excited about the Big Ten.
I'm excited about it. I am surprised, though, by the lack of general buzz. I thought if there was ever going to be some buzz around the Big Ten media days, it would be this one because of, as we've mentioned here, UCLA, USC, Washington, Oregon coming into the picture. Now, David, you mentioned Oregon. They're a really good football team. Now, it's going to be interesting to see, does the travel, does the ruggedness, if you will, of the Big Ten, how will that affect them? Are these teams now, because you have a 12-team playoff, not necessarily, like, you can lose a game or two. You got to get to that conference championship game, then win that conference championship game to get a bye in that 12-team tournament. So now it's almost like that conference championship game, which sometimes was kind of a throwaway game, right? You were already in as the champ, so you didn't have to. Maybe now the rivalry game against your biggest rival the last week or two of the regular season becomes a game that you're protecting yourself against because you already have punched your ticket to play in the title game. Because now that game is more, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I am very curious.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the Oregon team, their team name is the Ducks, and they made a point of showing that yesterday. Did you see the hilarious giant duck
in the White River?
They dropped in the river, and it couldn't fit under any of the bridges.
Quack,
it was stuck
quack.
There. That was
funny.
I thought that was very funny, and I thought more of that, please. I thought it was really interesting to hear the question about whether USC is going to play Notre Dame, Dustin. I thought you'd probably go there at some point. And you're trying to explain, well, these are rivalries, but we've got new rivalries.
At the moment, right? They're still playing.
We're still playing, but, you know, if this is going to impact our national championship hope, I just thought that was really interesting that a traditional rivalry like that is now in question because you're in a different conference. I got to tell you, I got a kick out of it. I thought it was great, and I think it's going to be really fun when we see the season go. I mean, there wasn't like tons of controversy or anything like that, but I think there's going to be really good football. I think it's going to be a hell of a football season, and I think Ohio State's going to be awful good.
But I got a serious question for you.
Oh, there's Charles Barkley. How much longer will we be hearing from him? What do you make of the NBA announcing that Amazon and not TNT will indeed get the C package broadcasting rights? The association claims TNT's parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery, did not match the prime offer. TNT says it will take the NBA to court, not to the hardwood, but to the actual the court where the guys wear those black robes. Is it really goodbye to inside the NBA?
I mean, I hope to God not. I thought it was like an unbelievably clever move of Warner Brothers Discovery, the parent company, to match the smallest of the contracts, which of course is the prime one. But apparently the NBA has no interest in that. The NBA didn't like that they had the ability to match. They felt that was a mistake, and they have not offered that to their new partners. I noticed that they got the NBC song coming back, that NBA song. I saw that all over the place on Twitter yesterday, and I laughed because it's good. It's a good song. What's it called? Here's the Hardcore or whatever it's called. They were playing it everywhere. But that's cool. I'm all over that. I think that Inside the NBA is like my favorite show on television, and part of the reason why is because it airs after the late games, and then you get the reaction from the guys. You know, they have to go through the replay of the game, and Charles always complains, "We just saw that. Why do we have to watch this again?" But for those of us that are recording it and watching it next day, it's fantastic. I'm going to miss that a ton, and I know we got another year left of it. And I know that everyone's like, well, why, you know, TNT should loan those guys out, or they should come up with some plan to run it on Amazon. I'm not sure I want that either. I'm not sure that I want to go hunt and collect to watch it. I will if I have to. But I just feel bad that, you know, TNT were good partners, and the NBA is clearly, and God bless them. You know, they got an unbelievable deal. They did a great job with the broadcasting rights, $76 million. I'm not complaining about it, but I will complain about TNT being shut out. And it's fairly apparent that the NBA wanted no part of them.
Yeah, I'm confused by all of it, to be honest. It's a great show. And I mentioned, well, why couldn't this show live on without the NBA? Why couldn't they be counter-programming? Could the NBA stop this show? Do you have to have rights to the NBA in order to run a show like that? And the show I brought up was Inside the NFL, which might have a lot more eyes on it this year because Bill Belichick is going to be part of it. Does Inside the NFL pay the league? Does the CW pay the league? There's also a report that Amazon wants to buy this show. And I'll tell you what, the good news is, if for Mully's favorite show, it's on for one more year. So there is one more. It's not over.
It's not over.
There's a whole nother year of Inside the NBA. That is guaranteed. It's about what happens after that. And who doesn't like that John Tesh NBA song? I mean, if that doesn't make you remember the glory days of the Bulls, right? I mean, a Sunday afternoon with a Bob Costas intro and then the czar of the telestrator. Yes. Calling the game. I mean, come on. This brings you back. Glory days, baby.
Trip back in time. Yeah, this is a deal, though, that Adam Silver's receiving pretty universal praise for executing or allowing to happen. And I see why. The size of it makes it seem – it's not silly to bring it down to one show because of what it means and how popular it is, but I don't think Adam Silver was concerned about that one show necessarily because it sort of defines a network. This will probably take care of itself. There will be if you're good enough – and the show is good enough. It will never be the same. We're going to have to probably get used to that idea.
Right.
But those guys will be contributors to some NBA telecast or analysis, and we're going to be able to enjoy their commentary in some form or fashion. This is the way of the future. This is the way that things are being distributed and divided and all different ways and methods of watching and internalizing, consuming sports. So it's complicated, but it's pretty simple. We've got to get used to the idea that that show that everybody loves is in its last season.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
How do you feel about Stan Bowman returning to the NHL as the Edmonton Oilers' new GM? In his introductory news conference, he said he has built a positive relationship with Kyle Beach over the last year and was asked if he had contacted John Doe number two, the high school player who was sexually assaulted by Brad Aldrich. Anyone negatively impacted, I feel for them, and I certainly wish they don't go through it again, Bowman said. Your reaction to Bowman being the first, I guess, of the people that were put on the sidelines after this unfortunate situation?
Wasn't that surprised. I think that people expected Stan Bowman to get back in maybe before Joel Quenneville. Joel Quenneville likely will be next for the first time somebody's fired. Look for his name to be speculated as one of the guys to be a possible replacement. This is a very complicated thing. I don't begrudge anybody from feeling like this is the wrong decision. I don't begrudge anybody's rage or resentment or whatever emotion they feel that this is too soon and it should never happen. I happen to believe that it was a terrible, egregious error in judgment that resulted in the ban from the league, but I don't think it should have been a lifetime ban. I think people try to improve themselves. There is room for that, certainly with somebody who committed a sin of omission, not commission, as Stan Bowman did. That doesn't excuse anything that he did or didn't do. He began his press conference, which was awkward, the right way, though. He apologized publicly to Kyle Beach. They have developed a relationship. I don't know if I would call it a friendship. It's an awkward relationship, but he's trying. He's tried to educate himself. He's tried to improve himself. And I think in that context, if you see the growth in somebody based on a mistake that they made that led to such a tragic result 15 years ago, 14 years ago, then I think that you want to give maybe somebody a second chance. We live in a very forgiving society. I hope Stan Bowman takes advantage of this second chance in the way that he can. Little surprise it was Edmonton. It's a legacy, iconic franchise. But if they believe he can do it, I think I'm fascinated to see him try.
I do believe in rehabilitation. I do believe in second chances. I'll be curious to see if Joel Quenneville also gets hired sooner rather than later. To me, again, depending on the alleged reports, allegedly, you know, writing a letter of recommendation for Brad Aldrich, to me, that is the biggest sin amongst all the sins in this story, that Brad Aldrich was able to get another job after he had left the Blackhawks. That is where, to me, this thing really, really went off the rails. It's an unfortunate story, but again, I'll go back to what I said in the beginning. I believe in second chances. I believe in rehabilitation. So hopefully, David, as you said so well, that Stan Bowman will actually take advantage of this second shot.
Yeah, I don't think it matters what you believe in regarding second chances. What I believe in, no, I'm just going to finish the thought. What I believe in regarding second chances, what David believes in regarding second chances, it's what Nate Silver, not Nate Silver, it's what Gary Bettman has come out and said about second chances. They've given this guy a second chance. They have cleared them. The league have cleared them to be hired within the NHL. So this is not a debate on our personal beliefs or whatever. This is the league saying, yeah, these guys are ready to come back and work in our league. It's not a lifetime ban. So then you hire someone and everybody's shocked that you hired a guy who had, you know, the negative publicity surrounding it is very real. And the questions around it are also painful and worth discussing. But the league is the ones that made the decision and made that they've given, whether we want to accept that or not, their stamp of approval. They've said, yes, you can hire this guy. We have no problem with it. We don't mind them being employed in our league. Now, what was really interesting, I spent a lot of time with this yesterday, is going back and looking at the news conference, he made a point of talking about how he's gotten his relationship together with Kyle Beach, and they have a relationship. He spent time. He's contacted him. It's not like they're good pals or anything else, but they have spoken. And then immediately he's asked about John Doe too. And the reason that's so interesting is because that's the high school kid that was sexually assaulted, who has gotten money from the Chicago Blackhawks, who has been paid off for whatever happened to him. But he's also signed a non-disclosure agreement, and that still holds. And he's still not allowed to talk about whatever it is that happened to him. I think that's awful. I think that NDA should be, I think someone should look into that, and they should allow the kid to do whatever he needs to do to heal or whatever. I think it's crazy that you paid him off and now you got his silence. And that bothers me quite a bit, frankly. But that was a devastating question to ask a guy. Well, I've talked to Kyle. I've tried to make amends. But what about the kid? I mean, that is just like, wow. It tells you that this thing is never going away because it's impacted people for their lives. And I thought that was the really powerful element of it. But if you got a problem with this, contact the NHL. All right, that is the pick six. We're going to get to the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
A week from today, believe it or not, the Bears will begin the 2024 season in Canton, Ohio. It's not too early to start wondering, how much will Caleb Williams play? How much should he play? What's your first thought? Sit this one out, play one series, or go through the entire first quarter?
I know the trendy thing will be sit this one out. Don't take a chance. You can't risk him with no offensive line intact and the receivers aren't going to play. Keenan Allen might not even break a sweat. I didn't think he'll put on a uniform. I get that. He's Keenan Allen. You don't have to play your veterans. I would like to see Caleb Williams in uniform break a huddle, call a play, practice his cadence, run a series, and call it a day. I want to see Caleb Williams representing the Bears, playing quarterback for the Bears in a Bears uniform on national television for the first time. I think there probably is limited value. And if he doesn't play a snap, if he doesn't dress out, whatever, I don't think it's a big deal worth making too much of a fuss about. The gains would be minimal. I don't think they'd be consequential. But if you ask me, what would I want to see and what could I justify? Yeah, I could justify Caleb Williams, one series. We talk all the time about the operation of the offense. Let him operate it. Let him see what it's like. Let him turn the keys on in the ignition. Let him sit in the seat. Let him buckle up. Yeah, I want to see him play a series.
David, I agree 100%. Also think it's important, on top of all that, to go through the warm-ups in uniform, right? Like, know where he's going to stand for warm-ups, addressing the team ahead of the game, addressing the offense. Not just throwing the ball in shells, but actually throwing it in cleats and a full uniform. There is a difference, believe it or not. So, yes, I think one series, even if he hands the ball off three or four times and never even attempts a pass, while I'll complain about it on Friday morning, I'll say right now that it's okay. But for him not to play at all, I think would be a very big mistake, very big.
Yeah, I don't care if he plays a snap. It doesn't matter to me at all. I want to know who's starting at left tackle. And I mean, if you look at a depth chart, their number one guy is out and their number two guy is out, and that would mean Larry Borum. I mean, I'm not even sure Larry Borum's listed as a left tackle on any of their play charts. So and you can say, well, who are they playing? You know, who's going to play against them? Whatever. Let me tell you something. Some young guy trying to make his reputation could come around the edge and ruin your season. So I care more about protecting him in a preseason game. And when is it going to be? Is it late July? Who cares? it's irrelevant. I don't think the season's going to come down to it. I don't think it's going to aid or harm. To me, this is just a – they're going to get rid of these games anyway. I mean, they're going to an 18-game schedule and double bye weeks and all this stuff. I mean, this is not an issue that would keep me up. I don't think there's anything about this that's going to determine his success this year. And the only thing that I will worry about is something negative happening, because apparently they don't have a left tackle available to them on the day. That's all. I'm not trying to be, you know, afraid of playing or afraid. I just think if he's going to play, then you got to have your best people out there, because that's the whole point of the operation. And, you know, if you listen to what Flusi said, I think that they're trying to play him only against the first team defense, and they're going to also, who do they play? They're going to play somebody in some practices. They'll get some time then.
Huh? Bengals, 55 to 60 snaps, yeah. I think he said it was the ballpark, or between 45 and 55.
45 and 55.
Yeah, that would be.
You could sit one series out here. It's okay. You'll get there.
Okay.
Just one reporter's opinion. But Dustin has the
point. I'm just curious, the fact that you guys are going to be there, does that impact the answer to this question as all? Would you like to actually see him in person?
Yeah, I'd like to see him play if I'm going to be there. But no, it doesn't impact how I feel about the number one priority, and David will back this 100%, is to get out of the preseason healthy.
Yeah,
ready to start in the regular season.
My answer had nothing to do with the fact they'll be there. No, I don't really care about my own, you know, viewing pleasure. I do think there's value in playing. I think experience, even though it's muscle memory, it's right. Things that you get better at. This is something he has never done before. This is a team he's never led before, a helmet he's never worn before. These are little things, but getting the play call from the sidelines or the press box or whatever it is, and whoever he's talking to, these are valuable reps, if you want to call them that. And I think when you look at that, I would think, as a rookie quarterback, you want to master as much as you can possibly master. And if you don't, it's not a big deal, but you do pass up an opportunity to practice something that you need to get good at.
Preservation over all else. Preservation.
I think that's true, and it will be probably the way teams look at it. I think it's a little scared.
Yeah, there's no doubt that my season could be destroyed if it's about me. If the quarterback doesn't play, I won't be very happy when you get to the regular season. All right, 312-644-6767. Mullin on the score.
How would you kind of just sum up this home stand in general, you know, against two teams kind of ahead of you in the stand?
Yeah, we pitched well. We didn't score enough runs.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That was Craig Counsell. And they pitch very well, and they've been as good a pitching staff as there is in baseball over the last however long.
Last 17 games, they have a 2.19 ERA. That is the best in Major League Baseball. They have struck out 128 batters compared to 46 walks.
And how many runs have they scored?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, just saying.
Well, since the All-Star break, problem. 9.
Well, I know that, over 17 games.
Well, bad. It's an offense, yeah. As I said earlier, you would say that it was broken, but that would imply it ever worked.
Yeah.
We talk about Cody Bellinger coming back, big deal.
Right.
Big deal. By now, it's too late. He wants to play in Kansas City, great. Great ballpark, cool thing. Cody Bellinger coming back is not going to move the needle. Not in this team, not now. I think that when Jed Hoyer declared on Monday that they weren't good enough to justify going out and buying and adding talent to this team, his team nodded its head collectively and said, We're not, Jed. Thank you. They're done. They're done.
But do you think that was related in any way?
To their lack of offense?
Yeah.
No.
No, I guess what I'm saying is, does him suggesting, well, if they don't get hot, did that put pressure on them that they couldn't match?
Well, I do think it's a fair question. I don't know. We'll ever know the answer to it, but I will say this. They are pressing.
They are pressing. I think that's
and
fairly
so
obvious.
You can connect those dots. You have a team president that announced that they weren't good enough to justify adding, which makes every player in that clubhouse, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, heard loud and clear.
Right.
They knew where they stood, and they knew they better get going, and they started gripping the bat tighter. They started putting the glove on a little bit. The ground. Everything seemed to have more anxiety surrounding it. Every moment seemed to be magnified. So, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment when you look at this Cub team.
I just think they weren't good enough. And that if he had said, hey, no matter how horrible you are, no matter how absolute garbage you are this week, we're going to go out and spend a fortune on rental players, that wouldn't have made any difference either.
Would that have been the other option? Because I think there's a third possibility.
Not saying anything would be the other possibility.
You didn't have to say anything, or you could have said this. I believe in this team. We're going to break out of it. It's going to start now. I believe in this team, and we're going to be active and aggressive, and we're going to try to add to this roster because I didn't do as good of a job in the offseason. I want to do what I can before the trade deadline and give us a chance to come back and close this gap, which is not insurmountable. I believe in this group because a year ago they proved me wrong and I want them to do it again. And we're going to start that process now. Now, that may be foolish and Pollyanna and all those things, but it'd be a shot.
I guess that's interesting to think of, but I honestly, and I think you're right. They seemed tight and they weren't swinging free and they weren't real. But I mean, that implies that now that there's nothing good coming and that it's over and everybody kind of knows it, that they're really going to just now just be loose as a goose.
Well, you know what's going to happen next. This is as predictable as anything in sports.
They're going to go out west.
They're going to fall off the map because they're too far down now. They lose to the Brewers. The Brewers are what they are. Cubs going to get to the trade deadline, unload a piece maybe, not do anything consequential, pressure off. Boom, look at the Cubs go. And they're going to fall just short of the wild card. They're going to lament of what could have been. And they're going to go into the offseason after having a 55-game surge where they were better than they were the previous 107. This is going to happen. They're going to be better because they're going to stop pressing performing.
Do you think, just along those lines, do you think that they convinced themselves last year after kind of getting hot, going on a run, coming up short, that they were better than they were?
They convinced themselves last year in the way that they floundered in September that they were good enough to win the division and get to the playoffs, and the manager was the problem. That's what they said about last year.
I understand.
They convinced themselves of that.
I understand why you'd say that, but I honestly felt like they were bringing the manager back until this happened. And then they just had a eureka moment. Why don't we get the best manager? Why don't we damage our opponent? Why don't we?
Well, think they were.
I don't think they went out with that idea when it first started.
Well, I think it first started that they felt like they fell short. They may have known why they thought they felt short because of the manager, but they weren't going to do anything about it because David Ross was good enough and they would try to do enough. But then when Craig Counsell came available, it was like, well, you know what? Well, if we only had that manager, we had a good enough team to win and get in the playoffs if only for some moves down the stretch, some moves that, you know, whatever the case may be, they convinced themselves that one move would be enough to change everything.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You got a problem with this? Contact the NHL. All right, that is the pick six. We're going to get to the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
A week from today, believe it or not, the Bears will begin the 2024 season in Canton, Ohio. It's not too early to start wondering How much will Caleb Williams play? How much should he play? What's your first thought? Sit this one out, play one series, or go through the entire first quarter?
I know the trendy thing will be sit this one out. Don't take a chance. You can't risk him with no offensive line intact and the receivers aren't going to play. Keenan Allen might not even break a sweat. I didn't think he'll put on a uniform. I get that. He's Keenan Allen. You don't have to play your veterans. I would like to see Caleb Williams in uniform break a huddle, call a play, practice his cadence, run a series, and call it a day. I want to see Caleb Williams representing the Bears, playing quarterback for the Bears in a Bears uniform on national television for the first time. I think there probably is limited value. And if he doesn't play a snap, if he doesn't dress out, whatever, I don't think it's a big deal worth making too much of a fuss about. The gains would be minimal. I don't think they'd be consequential. But if you ask me, what would I want to see and what could I justify? Yeah, I could justify Caleb Williams, one series. We talk all the time about the operation of the offense. Let him operate it. Let him see what it's like. Let him turn the keys on in the ignition. Let him sit in the seat. Let him buckle up. Yeah, I want to see him play a series.
David, I agree 100%. I also think it's important, on top of all that, to go through the warm-ups in uniform, right? Like, know where he's going to stand for warm-ups, addressing the team ahead of the game, addressing the offense, not just throwing the ball in shells, but actually throwing it in cleats and a full uniform. There is a difference, believe it or not. So, yes, I think one series, even if he hands the ball off three or four times and never even attempts a pass, while I'll complain about it on Friday morning, I'll say right now that it's okay. But for him not to play at all, I think would be a very big mistake. Very big.
I don't care if he plays a snap. It doesn't matter to me at all. I want to know who's starting at left tackle. And I mean, if you look at a depth chart, their number one guy is out and their number two guy is out, and that would mean Larry Borum. I mean, I'm not even sure Larry Borum's listed as a left tackle on any of their play charts. So and you can say, well, who are they playing? You know, who's going to play against them? Whatever. Let me tell you something. Some young guy trying to make his reputation could come around the edge and ruin your season. So I care more about protecting him in a preseason game. And when is it going to be? Is it late July? Who cares? It's irrelevant. I don't think the season's going to come down to it. I don't think it's going to aid or harm. To me, this is just a... They're going to get rid of these games anyway. I mean, they're going to an 18-game schedule and double bye weeks and all this stuff. I mean, this is not an issue that would keep me up. I don't think there's anything about this that's going to determine his success this year. And the only thing that I will worry about is something negative happening, because apparently they don't have a left tackle available to them on the day. That's all. I'm not trying to be, you know, afraid of playing or afraid. I just think if he's going to play, then you got to have your best people out there, because that's the whole point of the operation. And, you know, if you listen to what Flusie said, I think that they're trying to play him only against the first team defense. And they're going to also, who do they play? They're going to play somebody in some practices. They'll get some time then.
Bengals, 55 to 60 snaps. Yeah. I think he said it was the ballpark, or between 45 and 55.
45 and 55.
Yeah, that would be.
You could sit one series out here. It's okay. You'll get there.
Okay.
Just one reporter's opinion. But Dustin has the
point. I'm just curious. The fact that you guys are going to be there, does that impact the answer to this question at all? Would you like to actually see him in person?
Yeah, I'd like to see him play if I'm going to be there. But no, it doesn't impact how I feel about the number one priority, and David will back this 100%, is to get out of the preseason healthy.
Yeah,
be ready to start in the regular season.
My answer had nothing to do with the fact they'll be there.
No,
I don't really care about my own, you know, viewing pleasure. I do think there's value in playing. I think experience, even though it's It's muscle memory. It's right. things that you get better at. This is something he has never done before. This is a team he's never led before. A helmet he's never worn before. These are little things, but getting the play call from the sidelines or the press box or whatever it is and whoever he's talking to, these are valuable reps, if you want to call them that. And I think when you look at that, I would think as a rookie quarterback, you want to master as much as you can possibly master. And if you don't, it's not a big deal, but you do pass up an opportunity to practice something that you need to get good at.
Preservation over over all else, preservation.
I think that's a little. I think that's true, and it will be probably the way teams look at it. I think it's a little scared.
Yeah, there's no doubt that my season could be destroyed if it's about me. If the quarterback doesn't play, I won't be very happy when you get to the regular season. All right, 312-644-6767. Mullin on the score.
How would you kind of just sum up this home stand in general, you know, against two teams kind of ahead of you in the stand?
Yeah, we pitched well. We didn't score enough runs.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That was Craig Counsell. And they pitched very well. And they've been as good a pitching staff as there is in baseball over the last however long.
Last 17 games, they have a 2.19 ERA. That is the best
right.
in Major League Baseball. They have struck out 128 batters compared to 46 walks.
And how many runs have they scored?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying.
Well, since the All-Star break, problem. Nine.
Well, I know that. But over nine. The 17 games.
Well, bad. It's an offense, yeah. As I said earlier. You would say that it was broken, but that would imply it ever worked.
Yeah.
We talk about Cody Bellinger coming back. Big deal.
Right.
Big deal. By now, it's too late. He wants to play in Kansas City. Great. Great ballpark. Cool thing. Cody Bellinger coming back is not going to move the needle. Not in this team. Not now. I think that when Jed Hoyer declared on Monday that they weren't good enough to justify going out and buying and adding talent to this team, his team nodded its head collectively and said, "We're not. We're not, Jed. Thank you. They're done. They're done."
But do you think that was related in any way?
To their lack of offense?
Yeah.
No.
No, I guess what I'm saying is, does him suggesting, well, if they don't get hot, did that put pressure on them that they couldn't match?
Well, I do think it's a fair question. I don't know, we'll ever know the answer to it, but I will say this. They are pressing.
They are pressing. I think that's
and
fairly
so
obvious.
And so you can connect those dots. You have a team president that announced that they weren't good enough to justify adding, which makes every player in that clubhouse, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, heard loud and clear.
Right.
They knew where they stood, and they knew they better get going, and they started gripping the bat tighter. They started putting the glove on a little bit. Oh, the ground. Everything seemed to have more anxiety surrounding it. Every moment seemed to be magnified. So, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment when you look at this Cub team.
I just think they weren't good enough. And that if he had said, hey, no matter how horrible you are, no matter how absolute garbage you are this week, we're going to go out and spend a fortune on rental players, and that wouldn't have made any difference either.
Would that have been the other option? Because I think
no,
there's a third
I think
possibility.
Not saying anything would be the other possibility.
You didn't have to say anything, or you could have said this. I believe in this team. We're going to break out of it. It's going to start now. I believe in this team, and we're going to be active and aggressive, and we're going to try to add to this roster because I didn't do as good of a job in the offseason. I want to do what I can before the trade deadline and give us a chance to come back and close this gap, which is not insurmountable. I believe in this group because a year ago they proved me wrong and I want them to do it again. And we're going to start that process now. Now, that may be foolish and Pollyanna and all those things, but it'd be a shot.
I guess that's interesting to think of. But I honestly, and I think you're right, they seemed tight. And they weren't swinging free, and they weren't real. But I mean, that implies that now that there's nothing good coming and that it's over and everybody kind of knows it, that they're really going to just now just be loose as a goose.
Well, you know what's going to happen next. This is as predictable as anything in sports.
They're going to go out west.
They're going to fall off the map because they're too far down now. They lose to the Brewers. The Brewers are what they are. Cubs are going to get to the trade deadline, unload a piece maybe, not do anything consequential, pressure off. Boom, look at the Cubs go. And they're going to fall just short of the wild card. They're going to lament at what could have been, and they're going to go into the offseason after having a 55-game surge where they were better than they were the previous 107. This is going to happen. They're going to be better because they're going to stop pressing performing.
Do you think, just along those lines, do you think that they convinced themselves last year after kind of getting hot, going on a run, coming up short, that they were better than they were?
They convinced themselves last year in the way that they floundered in September that they were good enough to win the division and get to the playoffs, and the manager was the problem. That's what they said about last year.
I understand.
They convinced themselves of that.
I understand why you'd say that, but I honestly felt like they were bringing the manager back until this happened. And then they just had a eureka moment. Why don't we get the best manager? Why don't we damage our opponent? Why don't we?
Well, I think they were.
I don't think they went out with that idea when it first started.
Well, I think when it first started that they felt like they fell short. They may have known why they thought they felt short because of the manager, but they weren't going to do anything about it because David Ross was good enough and they would try to do enough. But then when Craig Counsell came available, it was like, well, you know what? Well, if we only had that manager, we had a good enough team to win and get in the playoffs if only for some moves down the stretch, some moves that, you know, whatever the case may be, they convinced themselves that one move would be enough to change everything.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.